Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is that amazing resurrection chapter from 1 Corinthians 15. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Christ is risen.
Indeed. Alleluia. As a people, we love and enjoy the element of surprise, or maybe the twist in the story. It seems like it's just sort of hardwired into our nature. And anything that's hardwired into our nature, commercialism is going to try to take hold, right? So a technique that's very common nowadays for getting you to stay on through a commercial, for those of you who still aren't streaming all the time, is you won't want to miss the last 5 minutes, right? We have books, each chapter in the book. It ends with its own little mini cliffhanger, just so you turn the page and start reading the next chapter until you're falling asleep and the book's falling out of your hand. To keep us clicking through the web, we get titles that are tantalizing and amazing. Laser scans unlock the mysteries of Christianity's holy sites. And you click on it, it's just somebody trying to study whether a church was built in the 13th or the 14th century. But the anticipation lures us in. The chance of a twist, it keeps us connected. Surprise creates a reaction. We like to be held in suspense. And that can be a problem on a day like today. Our desire for surprise, for special hooks, can be a problem when there really is no surprise in our being to this place. I mean, I thought about it. At the beginning of the service, in the printed order and on the screens, Pastor Berg's first, "He has risen," to print in there the congregation response, "What? He has?" But the way I figured it, nobody would actually read that, and "He has risen indeed, hallelujah," because it's so ingrained. Of course, there's also the other possibility. I thought, you know, maybe I could just get behind the pulpit and not be part of the opening, and then the sermon comes, surprise! We're here today because there is no surprise. We're here today not to be surprised, but to celebrate what God has done for us in Christ with certainty. We are here to remember and to rejoice in the fact that the story didn't actually take on a surprise ending, but it went just the way that Christ had told his disciples it was going to go. About halfway through his ministry, he began telling them things like this. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside. And on the way, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, to be flogged, and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." You see, our Christian life is not built on surprises. And the Christian faith is not about trying to recreate suspenseful moments in order to capture our emotions anew. Our Christian faith is based on the sure foundation of God's love demonstrated in Jesus Christ's death and his resurrection. Our Christian faith gives us clear words and a clear demonstration of this love so that we can handle the surprises that do come in life. And as God's word and plan and promises were unfolding, there were surprises for people along the way. For example, like how God chose to reveal himself not in another great Mount Sinai theophany with all the smoke, the whole mountain quaking, the thundering voice that made the people quake. But rather, he fulfills his promise of coming in the very soft coos of a little baby. That's not a surprise to us. We celebrate that every year at Christmas. And yet, though foretold in the prophets, it did surprise people. And how Jesus' ministry went was surprising to some. He was not like a warrior leading others to victory, but he came on the assault against the things that had been corrupted by sin. He came curing the sick. He came healing the blind, giving speech to the mute, mobility to the lame, even giving life to the dead. In his ministry, all of these activities are an indication of what he will do finally and permanently on the day of the great resurrection. It was a little surprising that Jesus came not in a conquering hero crushing his enemies of the state, but rather he came as one who forgives his enemies and as one who lays down his life for his enemies. And that first resurrection day, unfortunately, was a surprise to those who were there. The women were perplexed by the empty tomb. But what was the message the angel gave to the women? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And in remembering, they rejoiced. In remembering, they became the first evangelists. They go back to the apostles and they tell them this surprising news. And what was their reaction? Those words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Now, Peter was willing to check things out. And he ended up going to the tomb, and at the end of our reading, he was marveling at these things. But it was only as Jesus came to them that evening, after he ate with them, that the surprised idle tale reaction became a life-changing truth for them. Later, 50 days later, Peter would go on to preach the first Christian sermon on the day of Pentecost. He uses some of the words like this: "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified him and killed him by hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." God had given the word ahead of time. Jesus had spoken the word ahead of time that they wouldn't be taken by surprise. And he fulfilled his word so that they would not be taken by surprise. He has given us his Son so that we can be certain that our relationship is secure with God in both the good times and the bad times. Life has enough of its own surprises, some that we really like, others that we really despise. But in Jesus' death and in his resurrection, God lays this foundation of certainty to support us through it all. As Romans so gloriously promises, as we read in our opening responses, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am certain that neither death nor life
nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And God's plan, as it unfolds for us in our lifetime, as well as for the world, He has spoken of other things that are going to be coming. Other ways in which God is at work in Christ, working through what we might call open, unhidden surprises. God's plan, as it continues, is to use His word to make the resurrection of Christ known, a word that He promises, like the rain and the snow, it won't come back to Him without fulfilling the purpose for which He sends it. A word that is inspired by God itself, that is useful to teach us what is true, to help us realize what may be wrong in our lives, to correct us when we're wrong, a word that teaches us what is right, a word that God uses to prepare, to equip His people to do the good works that He has already prepared ahead of time for us to do. God works in places we might be surprised to find Him, in the lowliness of words. He is at work powerfully. He is at work very powerfully in the promises of the water that's united with His word, that in holy baptism, He promises that He has united us already with Jesus' death and with Jesus' resurrection. He has united us to Jesus' death and resurrection so that we too may live a new life, a renewed life, a life that follows Jesus, follows His humility, follows His service, follows His meekness, follows His compassion, and most of all, shares the forgiveness that He has given to us. God has promised, Jesus has spoken, that He is present with us in Holy Communion, that His resurrected body and blood are indeed in, with, and under the elements of bread and wine, and that as we receive them, we are receiving Him, and we are receiving all of the gifts that He won for us by His death and resurrection. Among those, the primary, we have received forgiveness, we receive life, we receive salvation. But there are still a few more open surprises just waiting. In our society, overall, many have bought into the idea that there is this life and that's all, nothing more. Certainly, the first to go was hell. Heaven has followed as being not true. There's death and then nothing. But God has spoken in His word that the first Easter was really only the first, and that there will be another. We heard it in our epistle reading. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And there is the resurrection, shattering the finality of death. Just as the first fruits are the indication of the full harvest yet to come, Christ's resurrection assures us also that we too will be raised. And with this future-looking hope, we are empowered today to live with courage, to face tomorrow with really a joyful expectation, because we know that death has been defeated and that life is ours in Christ. But there's also one more open surprise, an open surprise that has some mystery with it still, what the resurrected life will be like. For God has promised, and we heard it in the Old Testament, that He is creating a new heavens and a new earth. And we're told that it's not just that people will be raised. The heavens and the earth will be new, renewed. And we know that that place will have no sorrow or sadness because there will be no more sin and no more dying. There's the tantalizing words of 1 John when the Holy Spirit inspires him to write, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we also will appear like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." And there's that great promise that simply opens our minds to the wonders of it all. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart of man has imagined just what God has prepared for those who love Him. So no, there are no surprises today. Just a wonderful fulfillment of the words of promise given in the Old Testament and from Jesus Himself. Just the words of promise given to us for our life now, and certainly for the life that is to come. For Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.